Welcome on in. This is a Thursday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the Facebook feed here in just a few short moments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Hey, what's up? What's the good word? How are you? Great to be with you on this Thursday installment of the Sports Hub on FSA. Coming up towards the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by the head coach of the Sisseton girls basketball squad, Sarah Lincoln. She'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that. We've been talking about a team that's been on a mission for quite some time now throughout the winter months, and we'll talk with head coach Lincoln as she and the squad looking for a chance to dance in the SODAC 16 with a win tonight. We'll take a look at the scoreboard from last night in terms of the NSIC, the GPAC, as well as the NSAA tournament, that officially getting underway. And I forgot to print out the Thursday scoreboard, or did I? No, I didn't. Okay, I got the Thursday schedule for events here today as well. So loaded show for you today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the man we call the Cobra. He is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. Excited for the, I guess, the SODAC 16 qualifier tonight, right? Really looking forward to those matchups in girls basketball. Looking forward to the interview we're going to have with Coach Lincoln. I'm sure she's excited for the matchup tonight versus Milbank.
And it sounds like you're actually on the call tonight for one of our sister stations, right?
Yeah, 99.5 Jack FM tonight. Britton Hecla and Warner, yours truly, will be on the play-by-play. We'll have pregame right around 6:45, interviews with both head coaches, Tina Winter for Warner as well as Terry Nelson for Britton. Should be a fun matchup there.
You know, I think this is a situation where, and you hate to put it all on one person, especially for high school ball, but you really need a great balanced attack for sure. But above all that, you need to have almost a heroic performance from a player like a Sterling Brassfield, don't you?
Yeah, and I asked Coach about that, just what she means to the team. You know, it's crazy. I realized it yesterday. She's only a junior.
Yeah.
So she's been playing a ton of basketball at the varsity level for the last couple of years, and Coach Nelson was talking about her, what she means to the team, and he pretty much said we're going to need a big effort from her to come out on top.
You know, it's interesting, not just her, but you look at some of the performances that we have seen this year at large from high school athletes. I think about a player like the Heinge girl from Wilmot. She's a freshman, okay? Addie Neuendorf has been doing it since she was a seventh grader, and she's not even an upperclassman yet. And you talk about a Sterling Brassfield who's not quite a senior yet. So you look at some of these players with some of these programs that's that one or two players that have just been kind of head and shoulders above the rest to a certain degree in terms of the scoring category anyway. They're not necessarily all seniors, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, and we had Madeline Bragg in here yesterday. Yeah. I'm sure she was playing varsity ball when she was a freshman and sophomore in high school. Fiedler as well. Mm-hmm. I know Sisseton, why are they so successful, Tukes? Because all the girls that are on the team now played when they were sophomores mm-hmm. and freshmen. So you have that experience, and each year you get a little better. And when you start to win, when winning is involved in that, it makes it even better. Look at Northwestern. What if they get to the SODAC 16? What's that going to do for their confidence moving forward? There's a ton of teams out in South Dakota that you could use as an example of that.
And I don't have the exact numbers to back this up, but I would also submit to you, if you'd look at teams rise to, shall we say, prominence, when they are at the top, that's what we focus on. But you got to look at the road to get there. And I feel like more often than not, with some of these programs, probably most of them, their rise to prominence was with young players. It wasn't just, oh, this is a really senior-laden team and they all graduate, because when that's the case, well, what do you got behind you? Hopefully something pretty good. But the rise to a team getting on the championship level or, you know, legitimate level to continue to compete at a high level, It's growth. It's not just a, hey, we just came out of nowhere and we just turned out to be a really good year this year. I don't know how we did this. It's a growth process.
Yeah, you go through your growing pains. I feel like at the start, and you have a little bit of success and you maybe lose in the playoffs or something like that, but it's something to build off of. Or you don't make the playoffs, but you look back at the season, you say, hey, we can build off of that and go into the next year. And I think a lot of these teams have done exactly what you just said. It's not going to be rise to the top. Everything's going to be easy. You're dealing with injuries in the season. You're dealing with the quote-unquote transfer portal sometimes in high school, right? You are.
And that's, yeah, I mean, it's it's not a crazy thing to say because there are players that do indeed go to different schools.
Yeah, different schools. You know, you see it all the time. So, yeah, I think it's just when you have that success when you're young and when you got a younger team, you know, it just builds for the future, and a ton of teams have done it in South Dakota, and Sisseton's just the latest example right now, I feel like.
I think about a team like DeSmet, who lost in the state championship, must have been 2019, I think, to Clark Willow Lake, and, well, since then, DeSmet hasn't lost. I mean, they literally haven't lost at the state tournament here in Aberdeen since then. And I think about a team like Clark Willow Lake, because they lost, DeSmet lost to Clark Willow Lake. Okay, Clark Willow Lake used to be a B team.
Okay,
I know this is probably a little bit before your time of moving to South Dakota, but they lost to Clark Willow Lake in, I believe it was the 2019 state championship, DeSmet did. The year prior to that, Clark Willow Lake had lost to Sully Buttes in the state championship. So it's just like, hey, we're at the top. We're going to win this thing. Well, maybe not. Then the next year, it was their year for Clark Willow Lake. Okay, then DeSmet comes in. It's like, hey, this is our year. Well, maybe not. That was the year for Clark Willow Lake where they beat them. Again, since then, DeSmet hasn't lost. So it kind of comes in these cycles of a team gets to the top, they don't quite win it, but then the next year or the year after that, they're on a run. So
yep.
Just a
little, and there's no guarantees as well. Right. You know, you get to that game and you think you can win, you know you can win, but something happens and you don't. And that's, I feel like, an example with the teams that are competing with the DeSmet, right? A lot of those teams are like, hey, we've had great seasons, but once we get to that game, we can't figure it out against a solid team like the Bulldogs.
Why do we have to go against the 6'8" guy? Why is he so good? Damon Wilkinson, of course, was very, very good. And then Kalen Gary, of course, all those guys for DeSmet over the years. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by
Mr. Unlimited.
As we're tossing this one into the proverbial sky on Fox Sports Aberdeen, we'll take a look at our scoreboard from yesterday on the college side of things. Couple of standalone NSIC matchups as well with St. Cloud State and Duluth. We'll talk about that as well. What does that mean for Northern State as it pertains to heading into the final weekend of games? We'll take a look at the standings in the NSIC as well. But, of course, we mentioned this yesterday, and we will continue to do so. The Northern State Softball Free Youth Camp, I said, we'll mention it every day here this week. Again, a change in time, a change in location. Once again, that is coming up this Sunday from 1 till 3 p.m. at Keeler Hall of Fame Field on the campus of NSU. It's for kiddos between the ages of 7 and 13. The admission price? There is none. It is free. Register today at northernstatesoftballcamps.com. That's northernstatesoftballcamps.com. That's this Sunday at 1 till 3 p.m. at Keeler Hall of Fame Field for kiddos between the ages of 7 and 13. Been talking about that for the last couple of days. So also on the northern side of things, as we keep it local here for this installment of The Jump, at least this portion of it. How about this? Jake Oliphant, Northern State University right guard. This just came out on social media over the last week or so. He has joined the Wolfpack as the new player. Who is the Wolfpack, you say? It's a fair question. It's an indoor football league there in Everett, Washington, the Washington Wolfpack. So congratulations to Jake Oliphant, who now has a pro contract.
And if you need a team to root for, there you go. That's Seattle. You got a team to root for, kind of near Seattle.
And he's a Seahawks fan, too.
There you go. So that's actually pretty cool then, because he's playing some indoor football. Congratulations to Jake. He had a great season this year at Northern State. And he's actually one of the assistants, I believe, there at Aberdeen Central, too. Mm-hmm. So pretty cool nugget to add on to that.
Yeah, he's doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And one of those guys, he's just got a little nasty in him. You know, I just wouldn't want to be on the other end of the football trying to tackle either the quarterback or running back or something like that. Just lining up from across that guy, I'd be quivering in my boots. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and I feel like, isn't it indoor football? I think it might be like a 50 or 75-yard field.
I believe it's 50.
50-yard field. So there's a lot of points in those games, too. So
ever been?
No, my brother's covered a couple indoor football games, and I've listened to him on the air sometimes, and he's electric about it. He really enjoys the indoor football league.
Fantastic. I went to Chicago Rush game once when I was still in high school, so long, long time ago. Speaking of players getting contracts and playing indoor football, a shout-out to Luis Fieta. He was a kicker and punter for Presentation College football back in the day, so he just got a new gig there as well. So a lot of local guys getting some looks, and I've always said, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. You play D1 football, great. D2, D3, NAI, doesn't matter. If you can play, they will find you.
Yeah, no doubt. And if you want to play, you can find somewhere to play, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you got to have a little bit of talent, like obviously Oliphant does. But, yeah, I feel like if you want to play football at the next level, there's opportunities to do so. Congratulations to Jake. And there's actually an indoor football team in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Soul. They're actually pretty good.
Okay, the Soul.
Yeah.
That's not quite my team.
No?
More of a Washington Wolfpack guy. My fandom goes back all week and a half. So shout out to Jake Oliphant there, wishing him nothing but the best. And we've been talking about the baseball season here. It's not that far off. And at some point in time in the not-too-distant future, we'll do our preseason baseball show, our preseason baseball picks and what have you, like we did in the NFL. And one thing that's been taking the internet by storm is the new MLB uniforms. Have you been seeing all this hubbub about the MLB uniforms?
No, what's the deal?
So apparently they've got this new brand, the Fanatics jerseys, the Fanatics / Nike MLB uniforms, and it just looks like they're really, really cheaply done. And apparently, according to Corked Bats on the X, a really funny tweet said, the new Fanatics and MLB Nike uniforms look like players' moms got the jerseys on clearance at TJ Maxx. Don't those just look terrible?
Yeah, those don't look very good at all. They look a little cheap, like you said. It's like getting the jerseys, the rack in the back.
Yeah.
Type of jerseys.
Jerseys,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, jerseys, that's a good term.
That's kind of what they look like, to be honest with you. And apparently, also, the pants are sort of see-through, too, from what I've been told. Shohei Ohtani did a photo shoot the other day, and like you can see the top of the jersey underneath the pants. So it's like, what are we doing here?
We don't have enough money in baseball, I guess.
Nike, we just can't quite figure it out.
Yeah, really? Fanatics? That's where fans get jerseys, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing?
I have no idea, but that's the way it goes nowadays. Can't quite figure it out. Goodness. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some college notes from the NSIC from last night. And I will tell you, I don't think I have ever seen this happen in a game before in my life. The voice of St. Cloud State, Steve Linsmeyer, was talking with him this morning. He said he saw it coming the whole way, and it is a brilliant piece of coaching. I'll talk about that coming up next on the show as St. Cloud was taking on Minnesota Duluth, and a game that went down to the wire. It was, shall we say, an instant classic. We'll talk about that. Plus the NSAA, their tournament officially underway there yesterday. And how does all of this impact Northern State from the standing side of things in the NSIC? We'll talk about that. Plus the first regional rankings actually came out yesterday. And would Northern State be ranked in the top 10? It's all coming up next on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Bringing the juice on a Thursday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. My name is David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the man we call Mr. Unlimited, a.k.a. the Cobra. What was it, Swagga Double M Cobra?
Hot Swagga Double M Cobra.
Hot Swagga. Can't forget about the hots part. You know,
yeah, Hot Swagga Double M Cobra.
I was taking out the
former rapper.
Yeah, there you go. I was taking out the dishes last night in my kitchen, and I was just like, hey, because we were listening to whatever station you were on last night, or maybe it was
Sunny.
It must have been Sunny, or you came on the commercial, or came on the radio for a commercial or something. I'm like, there's Swagga Cobra. And Jackie's like, there's a Swagga part there too? I was like, oh, yeah, weren't you listening to the story?
Yeah, Hot Swagga Double M Cobra.
Oh, man.
I rapped the... There's a song on NBA 2K called Champions by Ron Artest, Meta World Peace.
Meta World Peace.
And I knew the words to the song. And I'm like, I need a rap name. So there you go.
Hot Swagga.
It was really funny when we had Ashley Schilling on. And you
she
asked,
was just had no idea
she
what
was
to,
like,
to go with that. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the name? Nothing. Oh, Coach, how's your season going?
Yeah, that's right. Well, shout out to the Chili Pepper. Or wait, no, Chili Pepper.
Chili Pepper.
Chili Pepper, yeah.
That's a great nickname.
I like that. That's good. That's good. So I got to come up with something. I mean, you got Cobra over here, Chili Pepper over there. Tukes is just kind of bland.
I like Tukes.
That'll go, right?
I'm a fan of it.
That'll play, as they say on the golf course.
That'll play.
So
even if you hit like a ground ball 75 yards in the fairway, oh, that'll play.
Hey, man.
Be quiet.
As long as I'm finding green grass somewhere, I'm a happy camper. As long as it's not pine to tree. All right, that's a whole other story. We'll talk some NSIC news and notes here in just one second, but starting up on the NSAA side of things from last night, the first round of the tournament in the North Star Athletic Association in the 4-5 pairing, Viterbo. This is women's basketball, by the way. Viterbo downing Bellevue last night, 72-63. Emma Wagner with 16 points. Macy Stellner had 14. Bellevue was led by Ashton Arnold, 17, as the Bruins season is done. How about head coach Eric Nelson and company? He, of course, a former coach for the PC women. Now he's up in Dickinson there, of course. And the 6-3 upset. Dickinson downs VCSU last night, 84-70. Samantha Ose with a game-high 27 points and 10 boards. Ashlyn Diemert had a great year, but just a tough shooting night. She had 15 points on 3 of 19 shooting. And Valley City sees their season come to a close. And just like we talk about, one bad night, that's it.
You took the words right out of my mouth there, Tukes. One bad night and you're done. That's the bottom line. And you have a great season. What's incredible is she still had 15 points on three field goals. So they were kind of in the game, but Dickinson State came away with the upset there. Is 6-3, you think that's a big upset?
Not big, but an upset nonetheless.
It's definitely an upset because you got to go on the road. But really nice win from Dickinson State, and they got some big contributions. Why'd they win, Tukes? Just looking at the box score, more balance.
More balance. It's always the big key for sure. It's a big shout-out to Coach Nelson and crew there. And Dakota State, they were all over Waldorf last night, 99-43. Hey, you know what? Can you win a game in the first quarter?
26-2, you can.
Yeah, they led 26-2 after the game's first 10 minutes, so Dakota State was all over Waldorf there last night. Samantha Walsdorf had a game-high 20 in the victory. Over on the guys' side of things from last night, Dakota State, they edged Viterbo with, well, they did more than just edge them. They beat them by 24, 85-61 as the Trojans under first-year head coach. Well, he's been coaching for more than 1 year, but this is his first year there at Dakota State. They're down south in Madison. Darren Tai, they earned the victory by 24. Emmanuel Ekpan had 15 in the victory. Kosei Egblule dropped in 19 as Dickinson defeats Waldorf. So for whatever reason, the Bluehawks, that 6-3, 6 seed, they defeat the 3 seed this time over Waldorf, 77-67, and 2-7 went to the 2. Mayville over VCSU, 82-68. Now, typically, the last couple of years, these first-round tournament games are at the campus sites, and then in the semifinals or Final Four or and then championship game, it's all in Watertown. This year, different. They're all doing it on the higher seeds, so kind of interesting.
Even the championship game?
Yeah, it's all at the campus sites.
Oh, really? That's kind of cool. I feel like that's pretty cool. For it makes the regular season even more meaningful.
Yeah.
I feel like when you really look at it. Now, obviously, if you're Watertown, you're probably like, oh, you know, we wish we had it. But I'm thinking to myself that, you know, a lot of these teams that had good regular seasons have an opportunity to just protect their home floor and see what happens there at the end.
Yeah, I can see it going both ways. But if I'm a head coach and I go, let's say, 24-5,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, you're taking away a home game from us and our home court advantage?
Yeah.
What gives? So I totally understand both ways. But if I'm a coach, I'm rather playing at my home court.
Yeah, I'm here for it if you're a coach.
There you go. Makes sense. There's levels to this, some would say. All right, speaking of levels to this, there are levels to coaching, and Steve Linsmeyer is the play-by-play voice for St. Cloud, and we're in a big NSIC broadcasters group chat. And he goes, man, you guys got to check out the finish of the Duluth and St. Cloud game from last night. So I did this morning, and it was an incredible finish indeed. Duluth wins at 64-63. St. Cloud's down by about 3 points with a little less than 30 seconds to go. They hit about a 25-26-foot three to tie up the game at 60, or was it 62? Whatever it was at the time, they tied the game up. I think it was at 60. And they kind of trade barbs, this, that, whatever. Duluth gets the ball in a tie game, and they take the ball down to the floor. They kill all the clock. And on a beautiful play, Duluth flicks it into Ella Gilbertson, their power forward. She makes a layup.
Mm-hmm.
They're up by 2 points. 0.1 to go. Game's over. Mm-hmm. 0.1 to go. Game's over. You're not going to – how do you lose when you're up by 2 points with 0.1 to go?
Yeah, they can't even get a shot off.
Other teams out of timeouts, they're screwed,
yeah.
Essentially. Enter the greatest play call maybe – I'm totally being prisoner of the moment guy here, and I totally get it. Enter an incredible piece of coaching. 0.1 to go. Duluth is up by 2. And on the inbound play, you got to go 94 feet.
Yeah, you don't get the – when you call a timeout, you don't go to half court, right?
They're out of timeouts.
They're even out of timeouts.
They're out of timeouts. But you could advance the ball if the ball is not put into play
beforehand.
So head coach Lori Fish for St. Cloud draws up this play. This is kind of these late games. Some would call it situational basketball. I wouldn't say that. Only hacky players and broadcasters would use that term. But I love this play call. On the inbound play to go 94 feet, instead of throwing the ball to midcourt and, again, just point one to go, she takes one of her guards and she puts the guard right around the free throw line, okay? And as the other team for Duluth is guarding the inbounds play like this, they're running up and down the sideline guarding the inbounds play, that little guard that's at the free throw line runs in front of her, takes the foul for a blocking foul. So with point one to go, they're shooting free throws to try to tie up the game. Can you imagine that? That's brilliant.
Wow.
I've never seen that before in my entire life.
That's just, is that coaching? Or
yes.
Do you think that's heads up player making the play?
That's coaching, 100%. Because apparently they've done it before.
Oh, they have? Okay.
I've never seen it personally in person, but according to Steve, play-by-play guy for St. Cloud, they have run this before. So you're screwed. You've got no chance. Point one to go. So she takes one of the point guards and just runs her to the free throw line. And as they're guarding the inbounds play, she just has that guard run right in front of the defender to take the take the blocking foul.
Yeah.
So she heads to the free throw line, but she made only one of two, and they lose the game.
Can you
one.
Imagine not making both of those after that? Draw up a great play like that out of the huddle, and you execute it to perfection in a tight game situation, and then you miss the free throw. Tuke's doctrine says make your free throws.
You would be correct, sir. But to be fair, the first free throw was halfway down and rimmed out.
No.
So second one was off the heel of the rim. But I tell you what, that was maybe one of the best coaching decisions or coaching moves. How do you even come up with that?
How do you think of that? That's unbelievable. And the refs, you know, you put the refs in a tough spot there.
You do.
Because if they don't make the call, then the game's over.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Literally.
So the game's literally over. So the ref made the call, and you got to think that the person who's guarding the inbound, they got no idea that's coming.
No
so that's
idea.
A foul 10 out of 10 times.
Correct.
So they made the right call calling a foul on that. My guess is she was out of control, and next thing you know, they collided, foul right away.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Unbelievable play call. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't work because you only go one for two from the free throw line, but I had never seen anything like that before, and I'll be very curious to see if something like that happens down the stretch in Sioux Falls or something like that during the NSIC tournament. Does
a team steal that?
Does a team steal that? I mean, it's on film now, so we'll see. But as it pertains to Northern, how does this impact the Wolves? Well, St. Cloud going into that game with a win, they would have upped their record to 15-6. Now, with the loss, they dropped to 14-7, and they're kind of in that big, massive, convoluted top half of the NSIC. Northern stands right now at 15-5. Duluth with the victory, they up their record to 14-8. If they would have lost, they would have dropped to 13-9. So that's a pretty significant victory for Duluth last night. And Northern State, of course, all you can do is just take care of business. You go 2-0 on the road here. You're going to be sitting in that number two spot, taking on Augie, of course, tomorrow, and then Wayne State on Saturday. But man, you know, you talk about some of the movements in the conference on a play call like that. And shots like that, just an incredible, phenomenal finish of that game last night.
Yeah, and you made a good point. That could have completely changed how one team is in the standings. Do they drop? Do they move up? So just awesome. Just awesome. That is a great coaching decision, and the players executing that in that spot, it makes it even better. And then they just missed the free throw, but still, pretty heads-up play by that team.
Yeah, it really was. So I'll be curious to see if something like that happens later on in the conference tournaments and stuff like that.
I hope
that.
Somebody else tries it.
I hope so. That's just brilliant. I mean, I've never seen anything like that before. By the way, as it pertains to the regional rankings, there is no 1 to 10. These are all teams that are quote-unquote under consideration, and it is all via the alphabetical order here. So you look for the N. Looking for Northern State, They're not there. So
what?
Even after their victory over Mankato this last weekend, they are still not quote-unquote under consideration. So looks to be, if Northern wants to make it to the national tournament, you got to run the table here. You got to win the conference tournament in the NSIC.
Yep, and they should have a boatload of confidence, I think, going in here than in that last couple games into the season and into the tournament, because they beat Mankato last Saturday, and you've really done a good job pretty much all year. They're a much better team, I feel like, and you'd probably agree at home than they maybe be on the road. But I think they got to have a lot of confidence going into this weekend and then following that into this tournament.
And like Matty Bragg said yesterday, they're going to be playing a couple of teams this weekend that are fighting for the playoff lives. So you can't just expect to roll the ball out and dominate Augie and Wayne State, because they're fighting for their playoff lives indeed. So looking forward to that coming up this weekend. Head coach Sarah Lincoln of Sisseton girls basketball, she'll join us next on Fox Sports Everdy. We are back. We are back. We are back on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. And after further review on that play from St. Cloud and Duluth last night, what say you?
Well, pretty awesome play, like we talked about. And that was a foul, 100%. And it's a little cheap, but it worked. And the first free throw that went in, we were looking at it. It was halfway in, bounced out, then bounced in. And then the second one just a little bit too strong. But wild finish to that one.
And a great, great finish by both teams indeed. And looking forward to the NSIC tournament, of course, coming up next week. Right now on the high school side of things is where we go, as we will jettison up to Roberts County at Ben Rifle Gymnasium. Sarah Lincoln joins us on the phone line, head coach of the Sisseton girls basketball squad. Coach, good to talk with you this morning. Thanks for taking some time. We appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, so let's take a look at the season to date here so far. And, you know, before we even take a look at some of these games and what have you, Matt and I have been talking about your program throughout the season and saying that this is a team that has kind of championship gold on your radar. You know, where does that come from, and how long has it taken to get you guys to this point to maybe make that a reality?
I think it's been a long time building. I started with the program, I think, about 7 or 8 years ago, and it's just been a slow climb. I'm a very positive person. I think every single year since I've been here, and you know, every year I say we have potential. Let's get it. Like, you know, every year, every game, I'm like, we're going to win this one. We're going to win this one, like, every single time. And, like, now it's, like, becoming an actual reality. Like, they're starting to see the results, and they push every single day to try to get better. And it's just been a long time coming, and it's exciting every single day with them.
Yeah, and this year has been a really special year for you guys. Only one loss all year came at the Madison Classic. You know, you did lose that one, and it was pretty close, and a game that you probably look back and say, hey, if we shoot a little bit better in that one, we might win. What do you think you learned from in that game, and how do you think you've been able to respond since that one, and now you're sitting here one game away from the SODAC 16?
I think, honestly, I think that was a blessing in disguise for us to take that loss. I think they had a lot of pressure on them from the get-go coming into the season. And I don't think that we handled it as good as we could have at the Madison Classic. But I do think that it opened their eyes, and I think they realized that we're going to have to make sure that we show up in every aspect of the game when we play these big games. We need to limit our turnovers. We need to know when to shoot the ball. We need to know when we need to move the ball. Like, all those little things that we've been working on, it was good in spurts, but we weren't consistent enough throughout the game. And I think that's the key defensively, too. I don't think that we're all locked in, all five of us on that floor at the same time. And I think that just kind of made them realize, like, we have to make sure that we're there every possession of the game and not just when it's crunch time. Like, we have to make sure that we're building through the whole entire game. So I think it really opened our eyes and made sure that we have to pay attention to the little things.
Huh. Sounds kind of like the Tuke's doctrine. You know, Tuke's doctrine says you got to do the little things throughout the game to be successful late. So she's speaking of the Tuke's doctrine. I appreciate that. Sarah Lincoln joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And Coach, you mentioned dealing with pressure this season. You said you've got expectations and all that sort of thing. I've always been of the opinion that pressure is a privilege. Now, how do you specifically and also the squad kind of deal with that pressure? Obviously, pretty well. You're 19-1 right now, but what's that like dealing with it and kind of getting over that hump?
We just try to remind the girls, these girls all have the love for the game. So I always try to remind them that when we're on the floor, that's your break time from school, from, you know, everything else. Like, don't take those expectations and those, you know, those goals that you have on that floor, like, that takes you out of your own game. Like, remember that little girl that loved the game so much that made you push to, you know, play basketball every single day of your life, to work out, to, you know, do all those things that made you guys this good. Like, remember why you're doing that. Like, you're playing for that little girl that loves the game. And when we forget about that love for the game, it's like we kind of go back two steps. So I think, like, constantly reminding them, like, you know, what their potential is, like, what their talent is, and just go out there and play basketball the way that they know how to play basketball.
We've talked a lot, Coach, in our, you know, discussions when I was out there in Sisseton, and you've always talked about the unselfishness of your team. It doesn't matter who scores on your team, as long as, you know, you guys are winning and you know, having that fun that you have had here the last couple of years. That's all you really care about. Can you just talk about the unselfishness and the way these girls play together? Because this is a very experienced team. These girls have been playing with each other, you know, for a long time. At the varsity level, a lot of these girls have been playing since sophomore. So can you just speak on that a little bit?
I think you can see it, like, it starts on their defensive end. You can tell, like, we just talked about it the other night, that when the first person gets that stop and they have to, you know, pass the ball, then the next one does their stop, and then the next two gets this stop, and then they got the ball, and then they push the ball up, and then it's just like, it's such a team effort on both ends. And it's like, when they all do their part, they don't care who gets the stop, they don't care who scores a bucket, they just want to get down there and make a bucket. And that's where the frustration sometimes comes with on offense, is that when we don't get those points that they're so good at, is when they get frustrated. And then that's when we kind of shoot when we're not supposed to shoot. You know, it's just some of those little things. And then, but when they're all feeling it and they're all in that rhythm, it's they're unstoppable. It's so fun to watch when they're in that. And I love it when they're at that level.
Once again, we're visiting with Sarah Lincoln, head coach of the Sisseton girls basketball squad on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Big one tonight against the Bulldogs of Milbank, and I think they're kind of a sneaky good team. You know, they're 12-9. They've got multiple players that have had good seasons, respectively, and for a chance to dance in the SODEC 16. For you guys to be successful tonight, what's kind of the scouting report looking like for them, and what are some of the big things that you guys are kind of focusing on to be successful against a pretty gritty Milbank team, I'd say?
Well, I think that we really need to take care of the ball tonight. Milbank is going to come in, you know, everybody knows what we're good at, and they're going to try to take that away from us. What we have to do is make sure that we keep doing those things that we do well. Don't let them take us out of our game. So we have to make sure that if somebody is trying to double us in the post, then we need to make sure that we're moving the ball around and making, you know, getting her so she can be one-on-one with them inside. It's just so many little things that I think that we don't do well consistent enough, and that's where teams can kind of attack us. So if we make sure that we're doing everything that we're supposed to do every single possession, I don't think that we're going to have a problem. But it's just making sure that we're getting those things done. And Milbank's going to come in wanting, you know, they have nothing to lose either. They want to come in and they want to get to the Sweet 16 too. So every team that we're getting, they're playing their best game that they have to beat us. And, you know, they're working hard and they're trying to get to where we want to get to, but we have to make sure that we don't take anybody for granted and that we do what we're supposed to do on that floor.
Second time you're playing Milbank, Coach, in, what is it, 16 days. You beat them 63-34 back on February 6th. Is that a challenge at all, do you think, playing a team, you know, twice in a two-week period, you know, because you guys are pretty familiar with each other. Would you agree with that? And what's the biggest challenge, would you say, about that?
I think our biggest challenge for us is ourselves. I tell them that almost every day, that the only way that you guys get beat is when you guys take yourselves out of the game. So that's what we have to make sure that we key. Like, we want to set the tone. We want to play the basketball that we know how to play. We don't want the other team to come in and dictate to us like what tempo we want to be at. We want to set that tone, and we have to make sure that we know that once we get on that court, that's our court. Doesn't matter where we're playing, but that has to be our court. And once we get that rhythm going and get going, like they will get the job done.
I'm hearing a lot of the words mental toughness without you actually saying mental toughness. It's kind of like one of those deals where if you can take care of business, it's because that you're right between the ears. You know, if you're not, then things get kind of hairy. So it feels like that's kind of one of the big things that you're saying without actually saying it, that I'm picking up on anyway, as Sarah Lincoln joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And, you know, I'd be remiss if we didn't ask about the Longhauger sisters and the seasons that they've had and the careers that they've had so far. Just what do they kind of mean to you personally and to this program?
Personally, I don't even think I could probably talk about them without tearing up a little bit. We're going to miss Chloe, definitely. They just worked so hard, and Chloe, you know, missed her sophomore year because she tore her ACL, but, you know, she came back tough and strong, and Krista was able to grow within that sophomore year when Chloe was gone, and it's just a blessing to have them on the team, not just because of their athleticism, because of their talent. It's just they're a good group of kids, and they all are. So it's fun to see them grow this big.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. And Coach, you know, you mentioned that the Longhauger's having a great year, and Hannah Lieberson's having an amazing year, and Emily Nielsen as well, Ruby Rice, and Tara Nelson. Could you just talk about how, you know, your offense you feel like has taken the next level with Hannah Lieberson being at the point guard and having the experience that she has over the last couple of years?
Definitely, and I think Hannah is just, like, improving every single game. I think her role has switched so many times with when she joined the program, and I think she's just been an outstanding, like, teammate by adjusting to those roles. And, you know, I watch her play basketball, like, at practice and, you know, during the games. It's like she sees so many things that I don't think, like, the average fan can see. And she can find Krista, she can find Chloe, she finds them no matter where they're at, and she can get them the ball. Like, some of those passes, I don't even know how she gets them to them, and it's just so amazing how she can do that. And then on the defensive end, like, she knows who she's playing, where their weakness is, and she can make that apparent. Like, she's just a tremendous athlete, and she's just such a hard worker, and she just knows the game of basketball, and it helps the program so much.
Well, should be a fun matchup tonight with the Bulldogs. Looking forward to that one up at Ben Rifle. Is it true that floor is still slanted up there, Coach, or is that just an old wives' tale?
Well, it is a little bit, but I don't know if that benefits us or us. I don't know, but every time an opposing team comes, they have to make sure somebody's standing at one end and the other one is laying on the other one, so they can't see each other. And I don't know. Maybe it helps us when we're there because we do pretty well at home.
Home floor advantage. That's good stuff right there, yeah. Coach. Much appreciated. Good luck tonight against the Bulldogs, and we'll talk with you later on down the road, I'm sure.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Our pleasure for sure. Sarah Lincoln joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and she seems like the coach that would be the ultimate hype person, you know, just like the ultimate hype person, you know, for her squad.
No doubt. You should see her on the sideline, too, when she's coaching into the game. I remember when I was doing some games, too, when the boys were playing, her son played, and you'd be broadcasting the game, and there's Coach Lincoln, you know, yelling
defensive signals,
yelling defense and let's go and all that stuff. But she's into the game for sure on the coach's sideline, jumping around, you know, in the huddle, animated. It's awesome to see, and that girls' team has been a lot of fun to watch and cover, obviously, the last couple of years, and seeing what they've been able to accomplish this year. It's nothing short of spectacular. Obviously, the goal is to get to the state tournament. Job's not finished. And get to the state championship game and ultimately win it, because they were there and finished third last year. But I'll tell you what, they're going to be a tough out for any team moving forward, just because I feel like they're playing with that edge. Like, hey, we were so close last year. We want to win it all this year. And, you know, some of these girls now are seniors that have been able to build this thing to where it is today.
Now, every coach is different. Not every coach shows emotion. Some coaches are very stone-faced and very stoic. But she strikes me as a coach that really cares. And you could hear her kind of talking about it. You could hear the emotion in her voice talking about the Longauger sisters. So she wants to win for them.
Yep.
She wants to put them in positions to win. And you know, I can think about a coach like Paula Kruger. You know, sometimes I'm talking to her on the sidelines after a really emotional win, and you can just see it in her eyes. And it's just like, those are coaches that if I could play, I would want to play for coaches like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt about it, because you're going to get 100% effort from coaches and players. And I feel like that's what they get on a night-in, night-out basis. And I'm with you. You know, definitely wears your emotion on your sleeve type of coach, I feel like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm interested to see how they come on out tonight against the team that they've seen 2 weeks ago. And they've had a lot of success against over the last couple years. And I think a big thing for them is, you know, with this Sisseton team is when they jump out early, they're pretty much unbeatable. You know, if you let a team hang around in the first half, give them confidence, you know, that's where you could run into some problems. But with that being said, Sisseton, I was always – actually, when I went to the Roncalli game, Hannah Leverson's dad came up to me, and he was like, hey, we're going to need a big third quarter, Matt, because I would always say, you know, this is a third quarter team.
Sure.
And he said that to me, and I just chuckled. I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're right, because this is a kind of a big third quarter team as well. So that's something to look at as well.
Keep an eye out for that third quarter tonight against the Bulldogs. We'll take a peek, if time permits, about the GPAC action from last night. GPAC action, anyway. We'll hit on some of the regional stuff there. And speaking of regions, those continue tonight. We'll take a look at the scoreboard coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen.
High temperatures reach up to 38. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Right now, 34.
We're back on this Thursday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Check out all of the GPACtion from last night. It's on our website on hubcityradio.com. Encourage you to check that out for the Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union tournament scoreboard, even though that's not technically the tournament, but it's just the scoreboard in general. Check it out there on our website, hubcityradio.com. As we'll switch to the high school side of things for tonight, you've got the play-by-play over on our sister station. Why is it always sister station? Why not nephew station or
brother station?
Brother station.
You know, cousin station?
Second cousin twice removed station. It's kind of wordy, I guess, but you know.
Maybe sister just rolls off the tongue a little bit better.
I guess it does.
Sister station.
Yeah, Warner and Britt Heckler tonight.
A little alliteration.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but no doubt about it. Looking forward to the matchup. Warner had a big performance against Aberdeen Christian. And talked to Coach Tina Winter about that, and she said she just liked the balance on her squad. And I even asked her, Tukes, about having the success on the volleyball court and how that's been able to translate. I know we talk about it.
We talk about it all the time.
All the time. And she said, you know, I think the girls are just so used to having that success to the volleyball court that it's just – it transitions. They're right into basketball mode right away. And I thought that was pretty cool. You can listen to that discussion on the pregame show. But, yeah, this should be a great matchup. I'm looking forward to seeing how Britton comes out after struggling the first time these two teams played.
That's going to be tonight, 7 o'clock?
7 p.m.
All right, 7 p.m. Looking forward to that one from the Warner Gym. 2-3 pairing. This could be a sneaky good matchup. Leola Frederick against Northwestern. Leola Frederick has had a really solid year, but Northwestern kind of an up-and-coming squad. So keep your eye out for that one as well in Region 1B.
I think the first to 30 might win that game.
First to 30?
First to 30 is going to win that.
Bold prediction?
That's a bold prediction.
Should I put it on the big board
over
there?
You should. First to 30.
Book it. All right, Region 2B. 1-5, Arlington takes on Iroquois Lake Preston tonight. JVC will battle Dubrook. By the way, all of these games, the winners are going to the SODEC 16, just a little FYI there. Region 6B, Lyman will take on Potter County. That's the 1-5 pairing. And then also you've got Highmore Herald, who upset Falkton on Tuesday by 10. On the road, they'll take on Harriet Selby tonight. So maybe that's the Cinderella story in Region 6B.
There's always one, right? Maybe
way.
This could be their opportunity to have that chance. They're going to have to play another perfect game, but I'd like to see that. You know, it'd be cool to see an upset like that.
No doubt. So looking forward to that one tonight as well. Over in Region 1A, Aberdeen Roncalli, they'll be taking on Groton tonight. That's at 7 o'clock on Pheasant Country 103 with Scott Solberg on the play-by-play. And I don't know, Roncalli, they had kind of a tough go about things on Tuesday with the Pheasants. I gotta believe that they said, okay, let's not mess around anymore. We need to do what we need to do.
I looked at the final score the first time these two teams played, Groton and Aberdeen Roncalli, 33-20.
Yeah.
Is it going to be that kind of game again?
First to 30?
That might be a first to 30 type thing, but 33-20.
That's a pretty low score.
I think you're going to get a similar matchup. Maybe not that much, but I think you're going to see a game in the low 40s tonight.
Mentioned Sisseton and Milbank Region 2A. Flandreau hosts Sioux Valley. That's going to be a great one. 2-3, Hamlin versus Florence Henry. That might be the matchup of the night. And the state wrestling tournaments continue with coverage right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen with Ryan Martin. He's the Cobra. I'm Tukes. Back at it on Friday on The Hub.